Hey everybody, Jeff here. In this episode, Matt and I talk about situations that we think pair well with the enjoyment of a good beer. And as I was listening back to this episode to edit it, it occurred to me that we never mentioned that it's perfectly acceptable to enjoy no beer in these situations, and we've each experienced these situations in the past without any alcohol at all. We're craft beer fans, but the first rule of that fanaticism is to enjoy beer responsibly. It's what we do, and it's what we encourage you to do too. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to another new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and friendship. My name is Jeff Martin, and with me is my co-host in quarantine, Matt Prince. Matt, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty solid, Jeff. I've got a beer in my hand. It's Saturday, so I really can't complain.
So this is episode 2 of our sort of pandemic pandemonium recording session. So once again, I cannot see you across the table, so I can't see what it is that you're drinking. What are you enjoying right now, Matt?
Well, it's the afternoon. It is sunny outside, albeit very cold, but I'm inside. So I am having a Pilsner. It's called Providence Pilsner from Le Cabre Brewing in Berwyn, which is right by us. I've had this beer before. I had it on tap at the brewery. They just decided to distribute a couple cases in the area, and I snagged the can. And it seems like they've changed it a little bit. The original recipe was a lower ABV. On Untappd, it's actually listed as a 4.2%. This is a 5.2% ABV, hopped with Tetnang and Saz. It's really good. Really, really good. And I love the can art. It is a blonde woman staring off at the ocean, clearly during sunset. It's beautiful. I love everything about this beer.
That's right about where I like my Pilsners, between 4.5 and, 5.5 might be a little high percent. Tetnang and Saz, great hops to use in a Pilsner. Terrific beer.
It really is.
I haven't had it, but I know Le Cabre, I've had their beers. And I'm just going to trust based on the description and based on the fact that listeners drink. I myself make a Pilsner with Tetnang and Saz, and it turns out very good. I am drinking Helles Other People, a Helles style lager from Tired Hands, who we've mentioned many a time on the podcast before.
Yes.
When quarantine started, they really started leaning into their delivery platform, which is called Dudley Direct. And if you get on at the right time of day, you can get a couple 4-packs delivered to you within a couple days. And so one day I hopped on and they had a Pilsner and they had their pretty, house IPA, I would guess at this point, Alien Church.
Yeah.
And they had Helles Other People, which I know is a great beer that I love. And so I ordered them all. And then this is the last of them. I mowed the lawn today and I decided I am going to have a lawnmower beer.
You've earned it.
Yeah. A nice, light, easy drinking lager style beer for after mowing the lawn.
You know, Jeff, it's fortuitous that you bring that up because there's a lot of different situations where we enjoy beer. One of which being the after you mow the lawn beer. I just started mowing my lawn for the first time. I've never had a yard before until now, and
it's a very simple pleasure to be able to have a nice beverage after you mow your lawn.
Yeah, it really is. You really do feel like you earned it. You definitely feel like you've done something that warrants a beer being enjoyed.
Is what you're getting at that there are other situations where a beer seems to go hand in hand?
Yeah, let's get into this a bit. This could be really interesting. The first thing that comes to my mind, especially as we move into the warmer months, at least it's supposed to be warmer, is barbecues when you're grilling. And I always think, I've got the grill going, the smoke's coming out, you get that great meat smell. Just kind of surrounding you. And I immediately think when I'm grilling or when I'm at a barbecue, I want a nice, crisp lager. And I'm not talking about a light lager or like a Helles lager. I'm talking something amber, more caramely. I don't know. I think it really plays well with just standing by an open grill and taking in the atmosphere. I always just think of something really simple like Sam Adams Boston Lager. Like, I just think of that beer as, like, the perfect beer to be sipping consistently all throughout a barbecue. Have you, found yourself in that situation? What do you usually grab from the cooler when you're grilling or when you're at a barbecue?
If I'm grilling, if I'm standing out at the grill, I find myself reaching for, sort of like a Belgian blonde type of beer, or a farmhouse style ale. We've mentioned it on the podcast before, I believe, but my favorite all time beer, it's not the best beer I've ever had, but it's just my favorite, is Flying Fish Farmhouse Golden Ale. And it's just nice and light. It's got a little bit of spice, got a little bit of Belgian character to it. I find that that really quenches my thirst when I'm standing at the barbecue. But I do like the idea of an amber lager, because, you know, the whole thing about standing there at the grill, you know, inducing the Maillard reaction on some good meat and getting some caramelization on the meat, and then having a toasty lager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that point.
Yeah. So, I'm like, you could really like kind of link a bunch of these different circumstances together and create a full day of beer with activity. I'm thinking like, Jeff, you mowed the lawn today. And a lot of times you mow the lawn, you get, you know, the green all over, and maybe you're a little sweaty, and you come inside, you have your post lawn, you know, lawn mowing beer. But then, you know, a lot of times you might want to go shower. So
the shower beer.
The shower beer is just like a classic. You got the steam from the water. The water feels great. You know, you've just done something where you need to shower.
I'll one up you on that. Beyond shower beer, outdoor shower beer.
Oh.
If you're, you know, because we're coming up on summer. It will be June by the time this is released.
Right.
You know, it's a time that I typically think I'm going to be down at the Jersey Shore. You spend a day at the beach, you know, you've got sunscreen still stinging your eyes because you've been sweating all day and you've been in the ocean, and you sort of want to get that salt water and the sand off of you. So you walk into the garage and you take off your sandals, you grab a beer from the garage fridge, and you go to the shower in the back of the house, and you rinse off and have a beer. That is the pinnacle of shower beer.
It really is. And you know what, Jeff? I always think that, like, I've just spent a day at the beach. I've just been out in the sun. The sun kind of wears you down a little bit. Me, I'm not the kind of person who goes to the beach and necessarily sits in my chair the whole time. I get in the water a lot. I'm riding waves. I like to go for walks and runs on the beach. So I have a very active experience when I'm at the beach. So when I come back, I'm tired. I'm a little worn down. But when you're at the beach, the nighttime is just as exciting. You know, whether you're going out to a bar, whether you're going up to the boardwalk, or whether you're having a family game night, something. I like something that just kind of like wakes me back up again. I don't want anything that's going to put me in the hole, though. So I'm not looking like high ABV. I'm thinking like a nice, juicy, hazy pale ale. It's going to give me a little bit of a pop, and it's going to get me back into it, and it's going to play nicely against the hot water. I think it's so bright, and it kind of matches the brightness of that like summer sun. And it just, that puts me in the perfect mindset to have a great night at the beach. And then later on, if I want to enjoy some other beers that maybe have a higher ABV, I haven't worn myself out. I haven't taken myself out of that game early on. I'm still in the game.
If we're talking about beers to enjoy in the sunshine, two of them come to mind. The first is Sunshine Pils from Trogues
here
in Pennsylvania. A delicious pils, super simple, will never do you wrong. And the second is Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's. You know, that does sneak up into the higher ABV a little bit, but it's not damagingly high.
No, it's not damagingly high, and it is a kiss. It's like a little kiss of sunshine. It just it does play nicely. And the name aside, even if it was named something completely different, it's definitely an outdoor sunshine beer. Definitely apropos for that shower beer.
Now, you know, we may have gotten a bit ahead of ourselves with this after the beach shower thing. What about on the beach, Matt? Do you enjoy a beer while you're sitting with your toes in the sand, you know, leaning back and getting some sun?
You know, I do. And it's funny, like growing up, I never even considered the idea of a beer on the beach. You know, I spent my summers in Wildwood. Growing up with my family, we would just go down, we'd spend the day on the beach, digging holes in the sand, making sandcastles, riding waves with my family. It was just, the beer was never a part of that equation. But as I've gotten older, beer has become part of that equation. I've gone to some other beaches where, you know, there's not a ton of people around, there's not lifeguards, so you're not worried about who's looking at you drinking. And I'm gonna put my neck out there a little bit, Jeff. I love a Corona with lime. you know, bring a bunch of lime wedges down to the beach with you, bring a cooler of Corona. Every time you pop open that bottle, stick a lime wedge in. There is just some like simple pleasures in life that I can't really quantify. But that Corona with lime, it hits every spot that needs to be hit when I'm on that beach. Now, Jeff, we are, you and I, huge sports fans. And, you know, we live in the Philadelphia area. And sports and beer are go hand in hand a lot of the time. I mean, you can't really talk about one without talking about the other in this area. And you are a partial season ticket holder with for the Flyers. So you spend a lot of time down in the at the sports complex. I've been to a ton of games over my life, whether it's the Phillies, the Eagles, the Flyers, or the Sixers. I've gone to Flyers games with you. Part of going to a game is tailgating. You know, if you're enjoying some beer before the game, you know, before you're even going in, what do you want at that point when you're trying to like really get amped up for the game?
I'm gonna push back against you on that one, Matt, because it's actually not the Flyers or even the Phillies that make me want to tailgate. It is college football that makes me want to tailgate. Yeah. And I did not go to a college that has football, but my dad did, and I spent a lot of my childhood going up to his college to see college football. And then as I got older and, you know, became of legal age to drink, you know, I realized how special the 9:30 a.m. Michelob Ultra is in a tailgate with some cold Chick-fil-A nuggets. Yeah, that is the perfect tailgate brunch right there.
I like how you call that the tailgate brunch. Yeah, I'm going to use that now. Like every time I go to a game now, I'm going to have the Michelob Ultra and I'm going to get those nuggets. I'm going to test it out, Jeff. If I don't like it, it's your fault.
Hey, it does a good job of getting you amped up for a game. You know, you're sitting around, you're talking to a bunch of mega fans, and that's really what the tailgate experience is about. You're there with a lot of mega fans. You're also there with a lot of people who are there for an excuse to drink, but if you find your people, you're there with a whole bunch of mega fans and you're all getting amped up for the game together. So once again, I sort of feel like this is the lager/light lager episode to this point, but yeah, you're finding something that you can, you know, drink slowly over the course of time and it's not going to ruin your day. Right. But yeah, the tailgate beer is a special one. Can I offer a suggestion for something that is a little higher proof? A situation that calls for a higher proof alcohol beer.
Yes, definitely.
Wedding reception beer.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Especially if you're a groomsman, after the wedding, after, you know, everyone has been through church or the, you know, whatever the ceremony is that takes a while, you know, you've been in your tux all day, it's sort of getting uncomfortable, but you you realize you got to the point where, we did it, guys. You know, our buddy got married. Let's toast with one. And I have a specific memory of toasting with you when you got married.
Yeah.
Why don't you share the story?
Well, so I tried really hard leading up to the wedding. All my friends knew me as like a beer guy, and I really wanted to have good beer at my wedding. But, you know, the place where we had our reception provided a certain package of beer and we just had to take it. And none of the beers were beers that I would drink. It's your more mainstreamy beers. So me and all my groomsmen and you as well, we brought beers, stuck them in a cooler and threw them in a little side room that the wedding party was able to go in. And Jeff, you and I, we are later in life friends, and I know we're both still very young, but in terms of the scope of my life, you've come in the last act, the current act that I'm in. So unfortunately you were not in my wedding, but you would have been now. I mean, that's the way life goes, but you were back in that room with us. You were hanging out and we were going back there for beers while everyone else was enjoying the other stuff out of the bar. And Jeff, you pulled me in there and you said, you know, I got something special I want to share with you. And Jeff, what did you bring?
I had it tucked away in my sleeve. I had it put in my car. The good thing about not being a groomsman was that I wasn't in the limo or anything, and I drove myself. So I had stashed off in my car, and then I put in my sleeve a bottle of Westvleteren 12. Westvleteren 12, for those who don't know, is considered by many to be the best beer in the world. It's a Belgian quad. You can only get it there. you can only get it by making a reservation and going and getting it. Or if you're lucky enough, like me, you know somebody who brought it back to the States. You know somebody who maybe ordered 2 or 3 cases of it and shipped it back to themselves, because if you're getting 6, you're probably going to keep them all. And I got 6 from a friend, and I enjoyed them over the course of several years, and I never told you about it until the day you got married, and I pulled that beer out, and I had a little bit, you had a little bit, your wife had a sip, and one of your groomsmen enjoyed about a third of it as well. Because it's a little high, it's a little higher proof.
Right.
And, you know, it was mid-early in the evening of the reception.
Yeah.
So
we still had some time left.
Yeah, we didn't want to throw away our sobriety right away. So we split a single bottle of Wessel 112, and that is a good situational beer.
It really is.
Post-wedding, early reception beer, a real special thing to toast a special occasion.
Yeah, now I will say, going back to my own wedding, the first beer I enjoyed post-wedding was on the bus on the way from the ceremony to the reception. I cracked open a Nimble Giant from Trogues, and it was just a perfect beer to like start the party. It was just, it's a great double IPA from Trogues. It's seasonal. It's brewed with honeysuckle. It just was the perfect beer to kind of just say, I did it. We did it. I'm married. It's fantastic.
While we're on weddings, I want to bring up another one real quick, and that's the best man beer. A responsible best man will not over imbibe until after he has given his speech. And so when my older brother got married, I was the best man. I was also the cantor for that wedding. So I sang at the mass, and then I gave the speech at the reception. And wow. So I had to stay locked in for many hours. And as soon as the speech was over, the maid of honor gave hers first, and then I gave mine. And as soon as mine was over, I walked to the bar, and I don't even remember what the beer was. It was a couple years ago at this point. It was probably, like you said, you know, something provided by the venue and something that is not super memorable, but the earned factor was very high.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, I've been to some weddings where the best man is nervous, and in order to coach himself up for the speech, decides to put a few back before. So that situation can go a number of ways. Like, some people, they're, I don't want to drink anything really until after the speech. And some are, I'm going to load up before the speech, so I have the courage to make it through the speech. So it can definitely go one of those two ways. Now, Jeff, we've talked a lot about, it's been a lot of light lagers. We've talked about pilsners. We've talked about some IPAs a little bit. I am interested in some situations where you're throwing back something a little heavier, maybe something dark. You know, and I'm thinking more of like that, either outside bonfire beer or outside hanging out in the cold beer. A lot of times when you have a bonfire, it's because it's cold. So, you know, those things could kind of work hand in hand. And if you're sitting outside and it's cold, or if you're by the bonfire with cold around you, what beer do you want in your hand?
Well, when you say the word campfire, the next word that comes into my head, if you're thinking about beer, is stout.
Yes.
So much of the, I'm sure there's more than one beer that is called a campfire stout, and not necessarily because it's smoky, but just because it's rich, and it's sippable. It requires you to sip it. It requires you to respect it and take your time with it.
You know, I am right there with you with the stout. I think of one in particular, another from Pennsylvania, Dark Skies Little Bear from New Trail Brewing, is a campfire stout. They brew it with the graham crackers and the marshmallow, and it's like a s'more, and it just has all those flavors you want. I love s'mores, and if I could take that delicious sandwich, that ooey gooey sandwich, and put in a beer, I mean, that's marrying two things that are so great. And there's just something about that, like you said, that roasty flavor as you sit comfortably by a crackling fire. It just sounds like the perfect situation. You got a beautiful sky above you, and you've got the fire in front of you and you're enjoying something that's keeping you a little warm, something that warms you up a little bit. That's kind of what I'm looking for, something that keeps me warm.
While we're on cold weather, Matt, I want to quickly mention, you know, there's not a lot of reasonable excuses to drink at 10 in the morning. But one that I have found is a very rewarding early beer is the right after you have shoveled snow beer.
Oh, that's a great beer.
So
that's such a good beer.
I mean, yard work we talked about, and mowing the lawn, and that requiring a light lager or a pilsner or something. But we just talked about stouts, and we just talked about darker beers. The beer after you've just finished, you know, you have a snow day, school is closed. You're a teacher. I work in education as well, in the administration side. So school's closed. We have the day off, ostensibly. We have just finished clearing our snow, which is going to be a new experience for you as a new homeowner. But you know, I've taken a good 45 minutes to clear 6+ inches of snow from my property. I come back inside, and what do I open? I go for a barley wine.
Ooh.
In that situation. And it's sort of all of a sudden 10 in the morning is 8:30 at night. It just puts me in a place where I want to put a black and white movie on the television. And I just want to sit back with my poured out into a nice, you know, a nice snifter glass. And the one in my head, I have two in my head that I want to mention. One is called Wings of Steel. It's from Conshohocken Brewing Company. I snagged two bottles of that. They were wax dipped. And I put those up in my cellar. Which is really just the top shelf of my coat closet in my basement. And when a snow day comes around, I do that. And the other one was Bourbon County Barley Wine from Goose Island. Part of the Bourbon County series, released yearly on Black Friday. I've only ever had it once where it was good, because the other time it was part of that famous infected batch from Goose Island. But if you've just finished shoveling snow, highly recommend a barley wine.
You know, you make a great point there. That barley wine really allows you to settle in for the day. You're talking about a good black and white movie, and you can sip that bad boy for hours. I mean, you can really just, especially one of the Goose Island. And in fact, you gave me one of those Goose Island barley wines, and I still have it, and I'm waiting for a good snow day to enjoy that. We had like no snow this year, and I would have loved to enjoy it, but there was no snow.
It's a style that still remains tasty as it warms. You know, the perfect temperature to drink beer ranges somewhere in the 40, maybe up to like 52 degree area is where you want to enjoy your beer. But like that one can just be room temperature and it's still super duper tasty. I've grabbed a barley wine from my cellar, opened it without even having put it in the fridge, and it's been chef's kiss.
Now, Jeff, we've talked about a lot of situations in this episode, and there's one more I'd like to get to, and it's only because I have a good story for it. This someone else paid for it beer. You know, you're at a bar, maybe you strike up a conversation with someone who maybe might be a little further along than you in terms of their alcohol consumption for the night, and you hit it off, you talk, they might have a similar interest, and they yell to the bartender, his next beer is on me. Well, you have all the power in your hands, Jeff. So what beer are you ordering?
No, it sounds like you have a story, so I want yours first.
So not my current teaching job, but my teaching job before, everyone would go out for happy hours. This was a charter school in the city. Everyone would go out, including the head of the school. And I just started working. This was like a day of we just had a day of training. And this was my first like week on the job. And we're at a bar in the city, and everyone's there, and I'm sitting there. I don't really know anyone yet, and the head of the school comes up to me, and she's like, "You having a good time? You know, how's your first week?" We're making small talk, and I had had two beers at this point, and she said, "You know, his next beer on me," as I was ordering a beer. This was like simultaneous, and it became kind of awkward because the beer I was ordering was one of those bourbon barrel-aged stouts that's only served in a little snifter, and it was $10. And I immediately felt horrible. I'm like, she's going to see this on her bill at the end of this time and at the end of our time there. And she's going to be like, what the heck is this guy doing? What kind of beers is he ordering? He already had two beers. And, you know, I was planning on drinking this and being done, you know, being done. And it just so happened that I charged a $10 beer to my boss's credit card. And but I will say, if someone's going to buy my next beer, I do kind of think, okay, well, I've got all the power in my hands right now. I don't want to put them out, but, you know, might as well make it a good beer. They're clearly getting me a drink for a reason. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to look for something I really want. Maybe not something I would have ordered on my own tab, but maybe something that now I will order because it's not on me.
You do have all the power, Matt, but what I have found effective in that situation is ordering the same thing the other person is drinking. It can reacquaint you to a style that you haven't had in a while. It can introduce you to a new beer. I recall one time when I was at the bar across from campus, just waiting for time between work and a basketball game to start. And I was sitting next to a professor and they were drinking a Belgian triple that I had not had before. I now forget the brewer it was, but I looked at him, I asked him how it was. And, you know, then we got to talking about him and his research and the things he was doing. And eventually he said, your next one is on me. And so I just doubled up on what he was having. We both had the Belgian triple. And it was a great beer, made even better by the fact that someone else paid for it.
Well, Jeff, you're a better man than I, because you're looking to make connections and I'm looking for the most expensive beer, but that's okay. You know, to each their own. But
clearly, it certainly wasn't an inexpensive beer that we drank, but I knew that he would be willing to pay it because he was already drinking it. But it is almost like that situation from The Simpsons where, you know, someone offers to pay for something and Homer says, I'll have your first most expensive thing stuffed with your second most expensive thing.
Yeah. Well, clearly, Jeff, there are a lot of situations that really call for a beer, and there are a lot of great beers to have in those situations, which makes drinking beer even more exciting, because now you can just look for more of these moments in your life and use it as an excuse to enjoy a delightful beverage.
Yeah, listeners, please visit us at our website, shelfypodcast.com, and go to the comments section and tell us about some of the special situations where any beer or a certain beer is called for. Let us know what that is, and, you know, maybe we can try to recreate it once this whole thing is over. Because I think really the situational beer for pandemic is whatever's in the fridge because we can't leave the house to buy something different.
Oh, Jeff, how about the Zoom beer? We didn't do the Zoom beer.
The Zoom happy hour beer.
Yeah. That's okay. We can do it another time.
We can talk about over the internet video chat beers at another point.
Yeah.
So please visit us at shelfypodcast.com. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. We leave up pictures of the beers we're drinking. We link to reviews of beers that we're writing. You can look at our followers and following list, and there's a lot of great beer content out there for you to enjoy. And we'll enjoy together. Until next time, my name is Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.